my guitar forever at that.
We are back. The Nostra Thomas Show. I know it all, and you guys are just in my way. No, I'm just kidding.
It's true.
But hey, it's good to be back. Had a couple bouts of some type of one of the 50 strains out there, I think I had. But this one is where you can't taste. Yippee at the holidays. All the best food you could imagine. So finally, my kids start giving me raw onions and shit that I never eat. Brussels sprouts. Doesn't matter.
Might as well eat healthy if you can't taste.
That's what I did. I just stopped eating. I'd buy something. My wife buys something. I go, take one bite. Throw it in the box. Take it home. In a sense, I'm blowing my nose. I've used so much nasal spray. I think I came out the top of my head, and nothing helps. When did yours go away? How long did yours?
I had it probably 8 or 10 days. No smell, no taste, nothing.
That's me.
But mine was just a head cold.
Can anybody smell the cologne I'm wearing? I got really good cologne.
I smell it.
Yeah, because I can't. I could be wearing Old Spice from 10 years ago.
High karate
wasn't that bad.
I smell menthol too.
That's my cocktail.
Okay. I'm Gary. Good to have you back. Michael Malus, former prosecutor of Youngstown. How hard is that job? And now a specialty attorney. I love saying that. It's very good to have you back. Last time we met, we did an end of the year kind of recap of our dad's craziness, which got a lot of attention.
Yeah, you told me it did.
Yeah, one of our teachers walked up to my son and said, "Hey, I watched the show. Now I get why you kids are like that." Hey, buddy, what does that mean? No. Because, you know, they got in a couple fights at school, and they expected me to come in and go, "Look what happened." I go, "What? That's all the marks he has on his face? What the heck's wrong with you, Tommy? Hit him. I told you to hit him.
What did you miss?
Get back there and finish the job." And then I had Vince one picture day. Will Cafaro's the other coach. We're all getting a team together. Vince is 6 years old. And the night before, he was in my weight room lifting weights, playing Rocky. I go, "Hey, Vince, what are you doing?" "Just getting ready." I go, "What the heck?" He goes to the pictures. Next thing I know, he's got a kid by the shirt like a hockey move. Boom! But so he can't go anywhere. Punch him in the face. I go, "Okay." Now, this is what we always had to do with Vince. He got dedicated at church. Next thing I know, he kicked the oil out of the pastor's hand. We also had to assemble about 50 people getting, you know, baptized, dedicated. Next thing I know, a kid's falling down the podium because he wasn't talking to Vince. This is talking to him, and he got mad he wasn't listening. Wow, we've got ourselves one of the sharps.
You have a handful.
But what's funny is Tommy ended up being the opposite. Vince is the doesn't argue, gives his a little opinion. When I start unraveling, he just no sense in going. He's smart. Dad'll fix it later, but right now I don't handle stuff real good at first. Tommy, my mumble. What? We go back and forth, this debate thing. When I'm yelling and he yells back, says something back. "I remember asking you for your opinion. What is this? My dad said, dude, put your head in a bucket of shit. You just did it." And you, "Hey, Dad, I don't like you. Tough, okay.
We'll get right on.
Give me the shit." But you didn't even, like we were talking about, you didn't even, it wasn't even like, "I'm going to go do it anyway." You just didn't do it.
No, you just didn't do it.
"Hey, don't climb that tower." Okay. There was no, "How about if I can get away with this?" Because you just didn't do it. Because you heard that whistle. I'm down the road with all my friends, and you got one big whistle. And you better be on your way home because you didn't get whistle number two. So we'd be right in the middle of a wiffle ball game, whatever. Drop your bat. You're gone. Game over. There's no, "We'll be home in a little bit."
Yeah. "I'm busy. Leave me alone."
We had street lights.
No.
And if I heard our parents calling, you just hit it. You don't even.
How funny was my post on your handsome picture of you when you were young?
You mean when I got married?
All your pictures look good, but you look really good in that picture.
Well, it was my wedding day. I hope so.
And you look spiffy, but you looked really good. And that old joke comes to me about the Greek. As they get older, they become So I thought that was a fitting place for that, because that hasn't happened to you yet.
Well, it didn't. I laugh at jokes, so don't bother.
It wasn't really a joke, but it's the truth. Like,
you're basically saying Greek men get ugly as they get old. No, is what you were
Here's the old joke.
Exactly what you were saying.
God, he looks. Yeah, he looks like a Greek god. And then when they get older, God damn, he looks like a Greek. See, it just switches it around. But I have a friend. I won't name his name. I'm not kidding you. This dude, his last name was Saris. He'd show pictures. I got him later. He'd show pictures. He put them on his desk of his family. Bro, you should probably throw that away. Because you don't look any... Your wife's going to start looking at that and kick you out of the house. That's how bad you've looked from there. That picture. Oh, no.
That's probably a shortened name. I bet it's shortened.
Saris.
It was probably like Sargentopoulos.
I worked with Sargentopoulos.
Yeah, yeah. Guaranteed, so, it was something much longer.
Anthony.
So he...
I know him, by the way.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you got... And I told... Who else I tell that to? Oh, a guy got married. I don't know if you know him. He's from Youngstown. He's he works for the city. Play basketball with him. We go to his... He had some kind of pre-party with the wedding people and everything. And we were all, there was like hundreds of people. Yeah, picture, you know, they put pictures of when you're young. I go, bro, he's such a dork in these pictures. I go, bro, you come here for a second.
You might not get through this wedding if your boy comes over and sees this.
What these? I know. I go, bro, you look like a dork. She might think that they might revolve back into that at some day. I mean, it was that bad. I mean, it looked pretty good now, but these pictures, Gary, his dorky look. I go, if my wife-to-be puts those out, we're not a wife-to-be anymore. I'll decide what pictures you're putting out there.
My mom used to put me in cowboy shirts when I was in, like, grade school.
I lived too.
In Ohio, and I had cowboy shirts that I was wearing to school.
I had vests my mom made me wear.
I cut my hair.
John Travolta stuff they put
by myself.
I'd have a pleather vest on. My mom would make me wear. And you didn't go, I ain't wearing that. Here's what you laid out for me. I got it. What'd you put on? Really? And I was a little big enough where people didn't say anything. Otherwise, I'd have been getting
beat
up.
Remember when bell bottoms come out?
No, that was after me.
Early 70s?
That was before me. Sorry. Yeah.
I wore them at the tail end.
I got my first pair. They were plaid. And I thought I was the shit.
I had red and white ones. Real,
oh my
real
gosh.
Dark red and white ones. Christmas pictures. I should show you the ones where Brianna, Mary, Ronnie were all in.
Platform
we
shoes.
Had turtlenecks up to here.
I miss that era. Do you remember tough skins? The pants that like had like the special stuff in the knee pads? Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
Were they tough skins?
Yeah, that was one of the brands they called.
Is that
everybody was doing that?
Yeah. They had like tough
skins. So how old are you? You miss bell bottom.
53.
You didn't miss them by much.
I did miss them. We didn't wear them when
57,
I was
57, and they were like popular when I was.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that fad got to Greece. Maybe, maybe they just said no to that.
I was born here, bro.
But still, I wanted I want to talk about some other prosecutor stuff, but I really believe, to be honest with you, employers have a right to say whatever they want to say to their employees to do. It's a right to work state. They can tell you to wear a chef hat every day. And I guess you just go to another job if you're any good at that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's right. I'd hate it, but you don't have to work there. I mean,
the only thing you can't do is sexual harassment or racial discrimination. Those are basically the two.
Age discrimination too, right?
Age too, right. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, as far as, you know, I mean, technically, someone could come in, you go, hey, you're fired. And they go, why? I go, I don't like your hair.
It doesn't matter.
Your hair color's ugly to me. I mean, that's literally a legitimate reason.
Now, is that for like big corporations, like hospitals?
In Ohio, unless you're a contract employee, a lot of hospitals are contracted employees.
Now, you're an attorney.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the medical field, which is they?
Yeah, that particular field. I wanted to know what you thought.
How do you feel about them getting a mandate or they lose their job if they don't take the vaccines? When in fact we know people with the vaccines and boosters are still contracting COVID.
But Mike, what I want to ask you is, isn't, because here's the thing that you and I argue over. The doctors are on the take. I have a cousin that's a doctor, he's a surgeon. He has to say what he has to say. At parties, family gatherings, he'll say whatever. But he can't go on record saying anything about this stuff. So I'm wondering, since they're on that string, why would the employees not have more of a case as that type of employment?
Well, again, I think generally your employers can require that you do anything that they want you to do.
So that too.
You know, I don't really, at some point, I mean, the Supreme Court's already decided whether mandatory vaccines, even though they just came out about they actually said that OSHA didn't have the power, but it's gone up to the Supreme Court a couple times on vaccine mandates. And they said the government does have the right under certain circumstances to mandate vaccination. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, let's reverse what it is. Let's say instead of it being 99.7% people live, what if 50% of them died? Can the government now tell you have to be vaccinated? See,
I mean, I would think, yes.
There's always a lie, right? There's an argument because definition of a vaccine, if you get the Ebola vaccine, you don't contract Ebola.
Okay, they've changed the definition now.
You don't get smallpox. Now they changed the definition to a requirement. You still get COVID with the vaccine. Right.
It's actually so how a can flu they shot. It is what it
say
is.
You have it's a to flu take
shot.
This.
Well, yeah, but the flu. Yeah, it's a flu shot. But the flu shot is a vaccine too. It's a vaccine.
Yeah, but vaccine means eradication. The
vaccine prevents. See,
it depends. I mean, I'm not a scientist.
No, I know.
So, but from what I've determined, from what I've understood from scientists and from doctors, is certain diseases have certain abilities to replicate themselves. Okay, so they call it an R naught.
That's right.
Like a flu might have a 1.2 R naught. Every person that gets it passes on to 1.2 people. This Omicron allegedly has a 9. Okay. So the higher the ability to spread to other people, the less likely it is you'll be able to eradicate a disease, because then you have to get like 100% of people have to be vaccinated. You need a very high percentage of effectiveness of that vaccine. Plus you need everyone to get it. Whereas the lower it spreads, the easier it is to eliminate something, because your vaccine doesn't have to be as effective. For instance, you can get herd immunity from a 50% effective vaccine if it doesn't spread that easy. And, you know, so again, I'm not an expert on the subject, but this thing spreads so quickly. Omicron spreads so quickly. You'll never get it under control.
I don't know. And I'm not a scientist by any means.
I'm not either.
But the research found The guy from Africa that first, where Omicron first originated, said the United States is overreacting because it's not that bad. It's a cold.
I think we're going to do that from here on out. I think we're really...
I kind of agree with what you just said.
I think we've set a precedent. We're going to do this forever. Every time comes along, we're going to freak out.
But I think we're going to... If we don't take a stand somewhere on mandating putting this foreign object in your body, that there's no proof that it stops nothing. They say, oh, it ain't bad. I know a gentleman right now is 14 days on a ventilator. He's double vaxxed and boosted.
Yeah, me too. Just died.
Does he have the Omicron variant or Delta? You don't know.
I think it's COVID.
Yeah, but there's two.
I don't know.
The lighter one, Omicron, is the one I had with the no taste. Yeah.
Let me give you the science that I heard just yesterday.
My brother had taste.
I had COVID with no smell and taste, and they said it was COVID-19, SARS-2.
They just did a study in California, right when Delta and Omicron were both going on at the same time. And they did a comparison of the numbers. And I don't have the numbers exactly, but I'm pretty close on it. There were about 20-some thousand cases of Delta, 50-some thousand cases of Omicron. The hospitalizations were equal amount, like 200-some people were hospitalized. Zero died of Omicron. Zero were ventilated. One was ventilated from Omicron. 14 died from Delta, and 11 were ventilated from Delta, and the hospital rates.
I think it's Delta that's the
case. Now, was there pre-existing cases with those people?
Sure. Yeah, of course there were. Yeah, there were always going
to
be that. Yeah,
they're not allowed to tell you that. That's why people can't get all the information, because your medical history is private.
1.6% of the people in California in that study who got Delta ended up hospitalized. 0.5% of people that had Omicron were hospitalized. But you have to understand, too, a lot of those hospitalizations on Omicron were... Somebody goes to the hospital to have heart surgery, they test them and they have
Omicron.
So
they didn't die of it. They had it while the issue was going on.
The average hospitalization for Delta was 11.5 days. The average hospitalization for Omicron was 5.5 days. So there's no doubt, like you said, it seems to be a much lesser contagious strain. And so I do think that it's, you know, Omicron is not as deadly, certainly not.
Then why would, let me ask you this, because you you know the law.
A little bit.
Why? Especially. Why did the CDC and the World Health Organization want to hold all the ingredients to these vaccines for 75 years?
Does that make any sense? They come to my friend who's a pharmacist. I have two pharmacist friends. Really good friend. He said he's got every drug they've ever got in 30 years. Comes with a list of ingredients. Here's the side effects. Let us know if there's any more side effects. They get these wrapped in a paper that says, tough shit.
Nothing on it.
There's is what they give them. That's it. Nothing.
And they tried to keep them.
And he quit giving them out then.
For 75 years. Like, you can't. It just, nothing makes sense through this whole thing. I'm sorry.
Well, I just think
I don't know if you guys know this.
I think it's so they can change it, the ingredients.
We have vaccine immunity in the United States for all vaccines. In fact, there's a vaccine injury compensation fund. So every vaccine manufacturer in the United States, no matter what, has 100% immunity for any side effect or something caused to their... In exchange, though, the government has agreed to create a vaccine compensation fund. So...
Oh, I get it.
This immunity for vaccine companies goes back 60, 70 years. Because when they were doing the polio vaccines, all of them, the companies weren't going to do them if they had to take on
the liability. So
they got the government to give them immunity. So the immunity's been going on for a long time.
It's crazy stuff.
I just
I get confused a lot.
Well, so do I, you know so what? Much information.
We all do this. We all, especially elected politicians. Something's happening. Let's make it look like we're doing something. And I understand that. I'm not saying, oh, these are what idiot would do this. They're trying to put a Band-Aid on a humongous wound, and they don't know what to do, so they just keep adding them goalposts, push them back a little further. Let's try this. Let's go no school. When you have a 0.0001 chance of having a serious issue, why would you keep kids home from school? That's worrying about the parents. I mean, the school teachers more than the kids.
I agree with you a lot.
I don't think it's about health.
It is not. It's about, here's what it's about. Let me see if you're compliant, dude. Let me see. Yep, you were a good boy. Now get the heck out and shut up. You're going to do what I tell you. We know better. They know better than us.
Because if you
that's what we're doing.
And the Delta and COVID, even if you're vaccinated, those healthcare workers who I feel sorry for can still carry it into a hospital because they deal with patients every day. Sure. Even though they're vaccinated, they can still carry it.
In fact, Summa Health now in Akron, I think they're based in Akron, I know the head office is, they're allowing their employees to return with COVID.
Because, oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually letting them go back.
Because
they don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice.
I heard, told today 230 employees walked out of Akron Children's
because of it.
Yep, because of the mandate.
I didn't see that.
I just heard it today from my buddy who works at Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah, hey, you know what, though? I was going to talk to you about... this whole separation. We've spent how many years of my lifetime trying to get everybody together, relationships, no segregations, everybody. We are now mask, no mask, vax, no vax. And it's just villainized these people.
Trump, no Trump.
It is.
Right, of course.
We are at the worst stage of it right now.
I think it's done on purpose. I actually think that's what they want.
It is.
They want the vax against the unvax.
So when we get the chip in our forehead, no chip in forehead, and you're not buying shit without the chip, pal. No groceries, no chip. Nothing. Get out there and start hustling up some buffalo.
Start milking some goats.
I want to talk about Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Lord.
Because we've been going back and forth. I'm giving you here. I think they should keep him. You don't think he should keep him? What is your stance? I know you're a Bears fan, so... Although I think the Bears quarterback playing now is better than
Fields.
Yeah.
He's injured right now. But
nobody's.
I don't know. As far as Baker, I thought when they first brought Baker onto that field to cover for the injured quarterback that they had 2 years ago, I think he had that team fired up. He got them fired up and got them hungry. I don't know what's going on now. There's rumors that he doesn't get along with the head coach. There's rumors he don't get along with them. Baker Mayfield saying that's not true. You know, just the media just blabbing off. So I'm
think he's extremely arrogant, which does not bode well when you're playing bad.
That's exactly my problem with him. I don't care if you stink. But you can't be arrogant and stink.
Right.
Okay. You can be arrogant and great, or you could stink and be quiet. But you can't run your mouth when your results are horrible. Here's my problem with Baker. Baker doesn't read defense as well. Baker has happy feet in the pocket. Baker leads the NFL and passes batted down back in his face.
Does he lead in that?
He does. He gets sacked because he holds on to the ball way too long. He has an extra step in his, and he goes back. The average quarterback is about 2.1 seconds from the time they take the ball to ready to throw. He's about 2.6 seconds, which puts him at a disadvantage. His height puts him at a disadvantage. Listen, the guy has guts. I mean, he has guts. There's no doubt he has guts.
But it's cost, you know, else has
guts.
Team,
every MMA fighter has guts, and some of them stink.
Do you think that he should? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I think they don't give a quarterback a chance. They yank him too quick.
Well, here's just my thought on it. I'm not a big Browns fan.
I'm a huge
I got no dog in this race. So I'm just gonna, what I'm watching, because I know he was hurt. I've had one of those injuries. It hurts even when you breathe. Why are you going out there though and costing your team? Now, that's what I'm saying about arrogant. Sit the heck down.
Yeah, sit down.
If you can't play, because that guy behind him isn't that bad.
No,
he's like not some
Keem.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. Case Keenum. Sit down.
And Nick Mullins, the third stringer, wasn't bad either when he played the one.
So, what I'm saying is, again, end of last year, 20 touchdowns, 3 picks, won a playoff game, should have beat the Chiefs. And then they come in, and this Odell Mr. thing, I think that played part of it, him getting hurt. I just think they should give it one more year.
And they will. I'll bet.
Because be fair, that's what I think.
Because they only have to pay him $18 million next year.
Oh, that's right.
So he's a restricted free agent.
Sometimes players, especially ones like Baker Mayfield, he probably feels obligated to get this team to win. So he ain't going to sit out if he's hurting a little bit. He wants to get out there and fight. Which I understand that mentality, but if he threw that many picks, I mean, something's definitely wrong.
He looked really bad. And he did happy feet about, because I think he's scared.
He's scared
to get hurt. You know, your body is a great defense mechanism. It kind of tells you what to do. When I was playing shortstop, I was playing for Kent. I got a ground ball and some chubby kid was running. So I'm at shortstop letting him run a little bit. And I'm going to fire a pee over there at the last minute. Make fun of the fat kid running.
Oh, nice.
Boy, I'm glad my kids
in the middle
are
of a baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about.
I'm watching him run, And next thing you know, I was on somebody was over top of me on the field. I go, what? Here, I threw wrong when I pitched. I threw with my leg out here and over top of my body. So I was using all of my arm, not a lot of my leg. And they tried, the scouts would try to get me to change it. I had done it so long, I couldn't do it. So after all that years, it built up bursitis. And when I went to throw that, the one bone caught on the other bone. And I mean, the pain knocked me out. I mean, I actually fainted. So after that, they wanted to sand the bow down. I go, oh, no, no. And wear something like I can't do that. I got to play. So they gave me these shots that work like for a couple hours, and then it would be really painful after the game. But I worked out with it. I just kept working with it and it got manageable. But my mind would not let me throw the ball. I would get a ground ball and I would throw like this looping underhand throw to first base. Everybody's like, you're going to keep doing that? I go, I can't stop doing it. I mean, it was like the ball would come.
It didn't hurt that way.
And yeah, so my body decided against my wishes that that's the way we're going to throw. So what happened to end it was I got a infield in, hot grounder, bases loaded. I got no time to think. I got to fire that to home plate. And I did it and it didn't hurt. And that was the end of it. Once I got past that barrier, my God, that didn't hurt.
I think that happens with a lot of players. Mitchell Trubisky was another one. He hurt his non-throwing arm his first year. They went 12-4, the Bears. He came from North Carolina. He hurt his non-throwing arm. The following year, he was garbage. Stunk. He's with the Bills now. I don't know how he's doing.
Yeah,
He just like, I mean, gets gun shy, sure. I think.
When you think about how good you have to be an NFL quarterback and be a good one, though, I mean, you're dropping those balls. And you got to drop it at the right time in a spot, the right spot. You got, I mean, it's an almost impossible job.
And you have to
job.
Read
with everybody.
All of those defense reads. That guy's here. I got to do this. I got to change that.
And fake him that way and throw. It's an unbelievable.
That's
thing.
Why some of them don't make it because they're not smart enough. I'm not. True. That's no cut.
Yeah, it's you look at Brady, my man. I'm not a Brady cerebral, fan, but that dude is so smart when it comes to football.
I'm not a Brady fan either.
I'm not either, but. He's smart. Some of his passes are so perfect. Like this Justin Herbert, that guy has a cannon for an arm. He just stands there and all of a sudden, boom, he'll fit it right in a, like a Terry Bradshaw, but not crazy Terry that was throwing the ball all over the place, gunslinger for throwing interception. He is like really going to be.
Who is it?
The guy from the Chargers.
San Diego Chargers, yeah. Justin
Herbert. He's got a heck of an arm.
No, he's really good.
And that guy from Cincinnati's good. I mean, this is really an era of some of the best quarterbacks. Now, if you go back to the years where they had like Billy Kilmer who threw the ball like that,
Joe Burrow.
He went out drinking the night before the game.
Joe Burrow left Ohio State because he was never going to start.
Joe really?
Like yes. Over he was their second game. He was behind
Fields.
Fields. He was behind Fields.
Why does Ohio State always have to have that type of quarterback, like a Justin Fields? Like, why don't they go? Because for years,
I will say the quarterback now has everything. He's got everything.
Oh, yeah.
He's got everything. I mean, you throw for 500 yards in a football game, 330 to one wide receiver in a bowl game. That was just incredible. He puts the ball where it needs to be. He's more of a pocket passer. Sits back.
Did you watch the Alabama game?
I did not.
I missed it too. Georgia.
Well, I'm not kidding you. That Alabama guy. Took so much. I mean, he is standing there with a 340-pound guy barreling down on him, and he stood there as a freshman and just kept chucking, getting himself up off, peel him off like a cartoon, get back up through. And he threw, you know, their best receiver got hurt on the first big play. He hurt his knee. I'm not kidding you guys. That guy was putting the ball right in their hand and they missed it. How about the guy where the ball hit his other shoulder? He just didn't turn around and catch it. Bounced off. He should be going to Alabama, Kent Branch. How in the world do you get to Alabama when you can't catch a ball thrown right to you? I had to give that guy, you know, a lot of credit to just keep sucking it up. And Georgia won with what I think is a horrible quarterback. So their defense in that was just crazy good.
How did Trevor Lawrence fare at the Jaguars?
He's another good talent. I mean, he looked really good.
I watched him the other day.
Last week, he looked really good. How about that ball he threw on off balance? Only the spot he could hit him with, right? You know, right in the back of the end zone. So whoever gets
hair,
that job.
I want him to fail. But it's the same because I can't stand those commercials with his hair. Yeah. It's not even nice hair.
What does Aaron Rodgers look? What is that? The man bun?
He's like homeless.
Going up up in the mountains like a monk or something. What is that look he's got going?
Sometimes he looks like he's 50.
He found himself. He said
he's found himself looking bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard he was wearing a man bun. I'm like, what?
He was, but it's not even that. He looks all drawn like.
You're talking about a guy that could throw for 40 touchdowns, though, and like six interceptions in a year. Just doesn't make sense.
You know what he does? And I noticed it because when we were arguing about Baker, I was looking at film just to put together. Baker's release is nothing like the real good ones.
No.
They get rid of the ball. And I'm talking about it's out of their hand. He has to have like the
pump fakes.
And then this. Archie throw to these guys are firing.
They were talking about Roethlisberger's release, how quick he releases.
That's why he's impossible to sack.
Yeah.
Remember in his good days?
Oh,
I would be yelling.
It'd be so frustrating.
Get him. Why can't you get him?
Can he touch him?
They couldn't tackle him.
He's like dragging people around like little kids and like throw him down.
And when he had Bettis?
Oh, my God. I hated the Steelers.
Bettis ran right over Urlacher, boy.
Did you know that I was a guest speaker at the Cardiac Kids reunion. They asked me to speak. Oh, you can tell some jokes. It'd be funny. I go, yeah. So I bring my son, Tommy. He's meeting them all. He doesn't know any of them, but Brian Sipe. Oh, yeah. He was sitting right beside.
The Sipe Bowl.
I would have worshipped him. I would have
he was
bowed.
Brian Sykes. That was, yeah,
he was,
that
was such little. A nice, they were so nice to my son. Like, they didn't have to do that. There's a bunch of kids back there, but they were, Brian Sykes was throwing him a Nerf ball and he was throwing it back. And I go, do you even understand who that is? He's like 11 years old. He doesn't get. So I get up there and I got guards. Like, there's a million people there. What do I say to get this kicked off real good? What kind of cute joke could I make? This was the bad move. I go, oh, everybody, it's good to be here. It's good, nice here. My name, you guys are finishing up your desserts. I'm not a Browns fan or a Steelers fan.
No, this is I worshipped you guys.
That was kind of like my little joke. Oh, these were drunken Browns fans.
Was it silent?
No, got boot. Like, I'm talking about, oh, get the fuck out of here. That's what I got. I go, but I don't like the Steelers more than I don't like the Browns. I could dig myself out of that one.
Listen,
my Browns son's fans, in the front row going,
they were 0-16, and my brother and I had season tickets.
No, sir. See, but that's tickets. Browns fans are like, yeah, that, man.
Love, you don't understand.
That's why they deserve so better.
Mad. I've only drove to Chicago twice.
I love the Cleveland Browns. I don't like the Cleveland Browns, okay? I like my kids. I like my wife. I love the Cleveland Browns, okay? Like, they're everything.
You would have loved this because Ritigliano, they had, they even sang the song, Bernie, Bernie. Oh, you know, as later, but they were doing all the, remember the site, remember the Browns song?
Here come the Browns.
Yeah, I remember. Here come the Browns. They had the cardiac kids.
Onward to victory. Here come the Browns.
But you that's right. I forgot about that. But remember the song about Tom Darden and
the site?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Frank Midfield and Tom Darden.
Yeah, yeah, that song, remember? On Ritigliano Super Bowl team.
Yeah. It's like the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, 12, I remember now.
12 days of Christmas.
Tom Darden intercepting on Ritigliano Super Bowl. That's it.
Yeah.
So they did that, and it was really fun. And they signed a bunch of stuff and gave it. And I was just, while I was sitting there thinking about all the games, I remember them coming back and went, and it was, and it wasn't like they had a huge bunch of talent, but that Sype,
they had Ozzie Newsome,
Clay Matthews, win games.
Oh, let me tell you something.
That's what it's about.
People say, well, Sype wasn't better than Baker. I go, okay, first of all, Brian Sype was a 13th round draft pick. They don't even have, they have seven rounds now. He was a 13th
round. What was Fran Tarkenton? He was
I don't know where
guy that just won. Yeah, didn't have any greats.
Yeah,
run around, like, not get sacked.
He was probably the first guy to really sling it, though. Yeah, probably.
But, and then you have the Snake Stabler, who, I'm not kidding you, he's not getting sacked.
Kenny the Snake.
He threw the ball right in your face as you're trying to sack him.
That's, you got to remember, too.
Bounce off their helmet.
Those days back then, that was football. Now you can't even touch a quarterback.
Well, think about that.
Oh, they got killed in the old days. Remember Ryan those old Sype, highlights?
When Brian Sype threw over 4,000 yards. It was like him and Dan Fouts threw for 4,000 yards. That would be the
equivalent
today of throwing for 5,000 yards.
More than that.
Right.
It's kind of like inflation, like, what the dollar was worth in 1960 and what it's worth now, because they didn't do that back then. They had two running backs.
2,000-yard running
backs. And they ran most of the time.
When Brian Sype was the quarterback, the Browns had Greg Pruitt and Mike Pruitt.
That's right.
They were both incredible running backs. So, and they had
Biner and Mack.
Ozzie Newsome was the tight end. And then later on, they had Biner and Mack that were 2,000-yard rushers.
But look at the Dolphins.
Was Warfield there?
Warfield was there in 72, yeah, 73, 71, 72, 73.
Sype era?
No. He was actually Bobby...
Yeah, that was before Sype.
The first round draft guy. I want to say Phipps or somebody. I can't remember.
Mike Phipps.
He was.
And Paul McDonald or whatever.
Paul McDonald was after Bernie. No, after Sype. Sorry.
Sype.
Right after
Sype.
He took over for Brian Sype.
That's right.
He was a left-hander, if I remember.
But if you remember back in those, and I used to watch Saturday morning, they used to have the NFL highlights with the music. And then, I'd be watching all. Because you didn't get this nonstop all day long sports. Oh. Turn on the channel. Six guys are handling. You know, if they score a lot, they can win. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But you just had that Saturday morning where you could see the past games, or you had to watch a game. It was only one game on. And these guys were getting crushed. Like, Jack Tatum was hitting people and just standing over top of them and hoping they didn't get up. I mean, but they kept playing. Did you ever remember your favorite player sitting out 3 weeks because of a turf toe or something? They played every freaking week.
Madden played for the Raiders, or one of those guys had no teeth. He's sitting on the sidelines.
Well, Mike Ditka.
Jack Lambert was missing teeth.
Yeah,
Lambert was missing teeth.
But they played every week. Your favorite player was always playing.
Well, the Steelers had Lynn Swann and John Stallworth at the same time.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Geez, if Bradshaw would on have been on the early 90s Browns, he wouldn't have. We don't know his name. Tom Bradshaw.
Franco Harris. You know, that's why the Browns were good in those days with sight. But, I mean, the Steelers had, they had a defense. They had enough. And I hated the Steelers. I hated them.
Oh, I did too.
My wife's a Steeler.
I went to the Steeler game with a Saints jacket on. And Anthony's going, Tom, I go, I wore this on purpose. Just shush. I walked through the tailgating with this jacket. And they were playing the Saints that day. I had a few comments. People were drinking. I go, maybe I shouldn't have wore this. This is not going real well.
I'm
going
to tell you a story. My cousin has had Browns season tickets for 25 years. And I've been to the Browns games because my brother has season tickets now. I used to have them. I get to use his, though, which is cool.
That's so good, though.
When you go to Browns Steeler game, when the Steeler fans are there, we obviously don't like them. And we mess with them. And we kind of call them names or whatever, a little bit, honestly. But my cousin went to a Steeler game, and he was wearing a Browns jersey. And he went to walk to the bathroom. The police officer told him, hey, don't wear that jersey in that bathroom. He's like, oh, wait, no, dude, don't wear that jersey in that bathroom.
After four or five beers.
I promise you, take the shirt off before you go.
Tailgating in. Before.
Like, they're really bad.
But you know what? Really, I tell you what I did notice. Have you ever been to a Steelers game?
Yeah, we had Cleveland tickets. My wife's a Steeler fan. She goes, I'm wearing my stadium Steeler coat. Because we had the dog pound seats. I go, you're nuts.
Oh, the dog pound, yeah. They'll squirt
ketchup all over the back of that thing and spit on. I go, you're not wearing
that. Well, I went to...
Not in the dog pound.
I went to Heinz. I went to Heinz Field because there was a player that I played basketball with. He was a quarterback for the Jets at the time. And he played basketball with us. So he gave us... We all went to see him play. He was on the Jets. Brad Smith, Youngstown. And he was in Missouri. He's got a ton of records. It was 8 degrees at the steel. I don't want to watch. I don't care about the game, but Tommy wants to see. Okay. I write, hey, it's really cold to Brad. He goes, I go, do something early because I might leave. I don't know how long I get to play. He goes, but he ran the opening kickoff back. He goes, is that early enough for you?
Wow.
Took off. Now, here's a guy from Youngstown that I know I played with. World-class runners, he left them in the dust for the kickoff return. And here's what I know about Pittsburgh fans. They wear Pittsburgh socks, stupid hats. They're 58 years old, and they're wearing this stupid gear that a kid would wear.
He's not lying.
They
will go to a football game with pajamas.
Pajamas.
I know.
And here's what they do. As soon as it starts going bad, they get up and leave. They got up and left in that Jets game, and the Steelers came back and almost won. And almost all of that section was gone. So, Browns fans will stay there. It's 98-0. Hey, come on! We can still get them. Because they've been through it so much.
Throw a pick.
Come on, we can at least score 7. We don't lose by 92. Yeah. It's something to build on. Oh, how about that sticking all the time? We're building on, you got a skyscraper to the moon you've been building on for some years.
Well, it's bad luck, too. Like, the Browns will get players, they'll die. They'll become addicts. They get thrown away. Like they can't.
In jail.
Yeah, it never seems to.
We had a Cedric Benson, our running back. He went to Cincy after that.
He was a great
DUI
player.
On a boat.
He was a good player, man. Yeah, he was. Cedric really was good. Before we have to wrap it up, I want to talk about dumb criminals. Because we discuss it.
Pretty much describe all of them.
I'm watching all these. My wife likes to watch these murder shows. And I'm watching these. Now, they're doctors. The guy from Cleveland was like a great doctor. Youssef, Asi, whatever. He gives his wife cyanide in her capsules that she's supposed to take. She drives down the road in Cleveland. Something happened. She gets in a little minor accident and she dies. They think she had something wrong. They blow it off. Okay, well, doc, we're really sorry. He keeps asking them to dig into the case. Are you ready for this one? I don't know if you got... He's a doctor. He's smart as heck. And the cop goes, well, you know what? Why don't we just make sure? Can we go through and do a search of your home and go through the medicines and that? By all means, we'll follow you. He left the cyanide capsules in the bottle.
Wow.
They just poured, oh, is these the ones taken? Yeah, those are the ones. Pull them out, take them down. They're filled with cyanide. Now, either you wanted to get caught or you're so far out there because him and his brother had a loft upstairs or doing chicks and stuff, and he's out in left field with all this stuff.
He took her original capsules, emptied them, and
put the cyanide in them.
Yeah. And then kept the cyanide in the house.
He kept the pills she didn't take yet in the bottle.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's smart.
Or how about this one? Ready?
Let me tell you dumb criminal story.
Me and Gary are gonna rob a bank, okay? So we're gonna have our phones right by the bank. Gary, did you get the money? Yeah, I shot the guy too. Damn, what do we do with the body? You got a bag of lime? No, I don't. Let's go get some at Home Depot while the cameras are on us. While we walk in, here comes Gary with a bag of lime out the door. The frick is...
No, you're right.
Surveillance. Gary's got a shovel too.
If you wanted to kill somebody today, you'd have to ride your bike. Don't take your phone.
Yeah.
Because right? You can't take your car because it's got GPS. You can't take your phone. It has GPS. And
everybody in the neighborhood has cameras.
You can't use a gun
because every bullet today fired out of a gun, they actually
they have
the copy of the
or things. Hey, there's a Tom, where'd you say you were? Oh, I was at a family picnic down in Newton Falls. Why do we have surveillance camera of you pulling into the driveway the guy that got killed? I mean,
somebody stole my car before, like from satellites, they can tell you what you have on your plate for lunch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's
like they can.
But I mean, these are smart people, attorneys, doctors. Nobody else is killing your spouse but you. You ain't getting away with killing your wife.
95% of the time, it's the spouse. That's why they always know. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
they're always.
Let me tell you about dumb criminals. Back in the day when I was a prosecutor for Youngstown, people were stealing the sewer lids and they were hawking the sewer lids. So finally, the police went to the for money for the steel.
Oh,
so they would just take up.
It's not a bad idea.
Why don't we tell you why it's a bad idea? So eventually,
I'm going to get down the road.
The police went to all the places that would buy these and says, "Hey, from now on, you do us a favor and ask them for their driver's licenses." These people would go there with 10 sewer lids and give their driver's license. They would buy it, call the cops. Cops come get the driver's license, go get them. Like they would actually show their driver's license to cash in something.
That was the only way they were going to get paid.
The only way they get paid.
And you know what? I was actually laughing at something you said one night. Keeping a secret. How can all these things happen? Keep a secret. How about I go up to a guy in the middle of up a creek? Anybody here want to shoot my wife for 10 grand? No? Yeah, okay. Let me know if you can find somebody. You know somebody's going to tell on you. Nobody's going to keep a secret in any form when you're running your mouth.
They used to have something called Soldier of Fortune magazine, I think, back in the day, where you could actually mail order a hitman. Well, of course, the FBI got smart.
Oh, jeez.
And then all the ads were the feds. So, so people would call to arrange it. They'd go to catch a creep. Gone.
We're all about the lady. Now, get this. She, blonde hair, beautiful girl, great life. Her husband was married to the, and they have to give the kids back and forth. She calls up a friend from school, high school, that she hadn't talked to in 12 years. Because she was ugly and got in trouble all the time. She thought she'd know somebody that could kill this girl. And so you think now that you treat her like crap in high school, now you're going to hug? Well, I really missed you. Yeah. And you think that's going to... And here comes the guy, and he says he's a cop, but I just want to get rid of him. What do you mean by getting rid of him? I want him dead. I want him out. Okay. How much? Well, God, here's the down payment. Over, game over.
Game over.
Yes, as soon as you accept money for sure.
Now I am gonna make you take your clothes off and I'm gonna hire you. I'm gonna make sure you don't have something on you I don't know. I think it's game over
even if you get caught verbally saying that you're gonna.
Yeah, there's a it, right. I'll tell you what.
I mean, you could
if you get like, a good if attorney
you were mad and said I'll kill you. Obviously that's not necessary. Right. But if you take steps towards it, I mean, you start calling
says, that's I want you to whack this person. You'd be like, all right, I can do that, but I'm going to need this much money.
As soon as you start handing money around,
that's enough.
Right? That's it.
Well, the hand of money is the final thing. The police will always go as far as they can go. So they probably don't need you to hand the money, but it certainly helps.
I've got it all figured. I got it all figured out. I'm going to wear shoes that are size 9 instead of 13.
Okay.
That ought to be fun.
I'm going
to
wear a complete rubber outfit.
Make sure you wear gloves that don't fit.
Gloves that don't fit. And then hold my hand like this when they try to put it on.
I know, he's going.
Can't get the daggone thing on. Well, how about moving your fingers right here? Just a little thing. I'm going to get an air balloon over top of all the, and no phone.
No phone.
The other person I need is going to be in shouting distance. Hey, throw these, the gun up here.
You got these.
No, I'm not bringing that with me.
No, everybody would be like this.
Oh, yeah, that's another problem.
There's a guy with a rubber suit on.
You don't know when you're getting filmed.
Yeah, that's.
You never know when you're getting filmed.
But hey,
what is if we're at our age, if we're 53 riding it, like we're riding a bike through somebody's.
There's a problem right there.
Why is this guy on a bike?
Right.
Why? This guy got spandex on. Look at that guy Tom I know from high school.
Look at the way he rides his bike. I know that's Mayless.
Exactly. It's impossible.
A spandex on an Argyle socks. What the hell's going on?
It's impossible. By the way, you got to, I don't want to go, but there's a topic that just came up the other day. So apparently there's been they just did, I think it was in Virginia Beach police were actually manufacturing fake DNA reports and then taking to like rape suspects and going, we got your DNA on the girl. You're done. Just tell us you did it. And then, and getting confessions.
See, I hate that.
And the Supreme Court has ruled on that several times. Police are allowed to lie to you to get a confession. So I can be interviewing you as a police officer. Say I have the entire thing on videotape. Put a videotape down and go, Tom, I'll give you one more shot, buddy. If I show you this videotape, no deals. I'm going to give you one more chance to tell me what happened, or I'm going to play this videotape right now, and it's going to show you. Okay, I did it. They're allowed to lie to you. They're allowed to
Isn't
lie.
Isn't that entrapment?
No, because entrapment, you have to be the type of person that otherwise would not have committed the crime. You've already committed the crime.
Well, why would you admit it? Oh, you mean he actually committed it? You just got
Yes.
Or if you're innocent, you'll say, I don't care what you show.
I'm not on that tape because I didn't do it, right?
I thought you were going to get somebody to admit something they didn't do.
Well, that's what they say it turns out to do. It gets people to confess because you tell them they have.
Well, here's their special line that they all use. Why don't you tell us your side of the story so we can know what to do to help you? And then you just open your mouth. Because I watch them do it every time. I told them to go pound salt when I'm in there.
No.
And then they put people in the room and they start talking about the murder. You didn't think maybe that was tape?
But then they'll keep asking you like 15 minutes later, they'll ask you again to see if it changes.
Well, how about the phones? When I was a prosecutor at the county,
use the phone and try to hit people on the phone.
A guy who murdered his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend, his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend, was calling her and saying, hey, man, you're the only witness who could testify against me. You got to flip. And they're recording him.
Don't
you think we're recording the conversation? Like, so we had the conversation.
Yeah, like the guy that called his dad and said, Dad, I did a terrible thing. What? I did it. I didn't. Then goes back in the room. I don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead. Play that tape.
They record every conversation that goes into the jails.
Those are all dumb criminals.
Well, that's why criminals
But do you remember the movie Heat? The shoot scene? Remember the movie of De Niro and Pacino? And they were out in the street just... And the guys duplicated it in L.A. And they had almost the exact kind of shootout. They covered themselves with that Kevlar all the way except their face. Kevlar covers up their face. They had... I mean, like machine guns. These
those
weren't
dudes that walked the streets. And
sitting there. Just
was that the 80s, 70s, 80s?
Yeah, 80s.
It was after the movie Heat. So it was in the 90s.
They're in their full body armor.
Yeah.
And they walk down the street with
just like the movie
and just shooting up everybody.
Bah, 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 and they're shooting them and the bullets are bouncing them. They're just standing.
It was crazy. Yeah. I watched a live footage from a helicopter on TV when they were shown. I was like,
it was incredible. And they were just getting away. Finally, the guy's down to ammo, whatever. He just starts walking down the road.
Well, I don't know if it's true, but supposedly, I mean, I don't know. But the China and Russia have developed bulletproof vests so good that when you shoot them with American 223 rifle, it won't go through. So that's why I guess the Americans are experimenting, the U.S. is experimenting by upping the actual cartridge that we use, the speed of it, and the size of the bullet, because apparently, they have a body armor that will stop our bullets.
I think in 5 years,
plenty of those, but it ain't gonna work.
In 5 years, you're gonna have everybody wearing body armor, masks, anti, we're going to be like walking around like, whoa, everybody, in case we get shot, in case we get in Iraq, in case we get something.
Well,
you don't think that's that far, huh?
Lifetime.
Oh, well.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not like going to be like that. I personally want to thank Mr. Ronald Williams for his intro music.
Yeah, thanks, Ronnie.
That was actually really good.
Yeah,
I'd like to have him.
I played music with Ronnie for many years. He's a wonderful guy. He wrote that for Tom's show.
Thanks, Ronnie. Hey, and did you see that piece about the concerts in the area? Exactly what we were talking about.
No.
He interviewed Eric and...
No, I didn't see it.
It's exactly what I said.
Maybe we'll talk about that next
time. Prices, people aren't coming. I don't want to rain on somebody else. I know what that business is like, and it's hard, and I don't want to make fun of it.
Crazy.
But you can't. Here's the way it is right now. You either go big or don't even bother, because they're not going to pay $40 to see Foreigner for the eighth time. They're just not doing it right now. People are a little leery about being around. You better put Elvis. They just found Elvis. He's alive. That'll sell tickets.
You go to Browns game and it's full.
Yeah,
because you're outside.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And I could tell you right now, and just like the old days, if you put food around something, always works. You can come get something to eat. There's a band. There's Northern Whiskey. There's Gary. He's gonna pretend like he doesn't know you and stuff when he's up on the stage. But that's Gary, you know.
Don't listen to him.
He told me to get. I would tease him while he's on the stage. I got all this shit going on, and I got security people. I got a band that's up there, F-bombs on Family Day. We called it Family Day.
Not us.
No, it wasn't. I go, pull that plug. And the guy told Bubba, they're not done with their set. Really? I got to come cut that damn cord. I'll tell you you're done with your set. I'll decide.
Didn't you try to be a singer for him or something?
We started the band together.
Back in the 80s.
He got really...
Can you sing?
Yeah, he could sing.
He
had the habit of coming with a case of Little Kings or Mick Alton.
And wearing a Miami Vice outfit when they had their bands.
And Penny Loafers. I'm like,
what's the problem? And then I would bitch like the whole time.
The problem is it started about half hour ago. You're just
now. Get off my back. That's what music people do.
He's the singer. He's Steve Perry.
I'm eccentric.
Oh, he did some good stuff. He did.
And I would really love to do it again. I don't know if you do everything though.
Yeah,
now
all kinds, yeah.
I really would. I'd like to get back. I was singing with another band.
Frank Sinatra? What are you singing?
I could do anything. I was singing I was actually
Robert
doing
Palmer.
Yeah, I was actually Dire doing Straits. I did a David Lee Roth tape at one of my shows. They had the booth. Here's what would happen. Karaoke booth, I'll do one. Next thing you know, back off. I never left the booth. Put in another tape. I would just stay there the whole game. Here's another one. Yeah, I just never got off.
Hand out the curtain sign.
Yeah, like, can I play back off? I got six more songs going here.
Meanwhile,
but,
a real singer shows up and Tom's like, nobody wants to hear you.
Yeah, no, but we can play your record, dude. We don't need that. But I did a David Lee Roth and an Eddie Money tape, Jump, and I did, and I brought it to work. I go, Anthony, here's, want to hear my tape? He's playing it, and they edited it pretty good. He goes, that's not you. Get out of here. I go, oh, that's me. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. I mean, we got in this fight. Yeah, I did that at the show. Obviously, you weren't working at the show because you always ended up that.
Something was your fault.
Like, I made the putt for $1,000, and it was on camera. Chichi Rodriguez missed it. I'm the last guy. I'm like, you know, I'm going to make this, right? It's pouring down rain because I just always win. Boop, ball goes down. The hole's about this big. Boop, boop, plopped in the hole. And the video was on the guy running the tournament. It was a Brown Steelers.
Golf outing.
And he goes, because I was the last golfer and he had to give the money away. So wouldn't you know, and Anthony goes, sends me a message. I saw you won that $1,000. So I need a percentage of that. You were on my time. I'm laughing. There's no response. He wasn't kidding.
I need 10%.
Yeah. You were on my time. Or when I got the Duran ticket. I hope he's going to watch this. So I'm going to tell this story.
Duran's going to watch this? Like,
no, Anthony Caffaro's going to watch this because I got Duran tickets off of Cornell. They played in Cleveland. It was the last thing. The tickets sold out in 15 minutes at the Convocation Center. It was 2005, 6, whatever it was. So he gave me 8 tickets, good tickets. And so I go, you got to be kidding us. I couldn't believe it. So I worked out at Anthony's house. He had a big gym and a pool, and we worked out. And I got my, he goes, so let's put a list together on who's going. Well, I'm putting my list together, my brother. But he goes, wait, what about so-and-so? I'm not going to say name, not in the family anymore. So-and-so and so-and-so. And I go, no, they can buy their own dang tickets. You only got those because of me. I go, despite you, I got these tickets. Really? Think they're going to give you tickets? You're getting nothing, bro. You're going to pay triple time for this. So we had this big fight. So finally, I took the weight gloves and threw them at him. He goes, get out of here. I go, don't feel like too safe that I might just come back here and kick your damn. So I'm leaving. He comes out. That was stupid. And we laugh about that. Every time we start joking around, remember that time you threw the gloves at me? You told me, don't feel too safe. A couple more words here, and I have no clue who you are. Or I told him I was going to Vegas because I would come back from Vegas with no expense report. Are you buying people dinners? No, they buy me dinners. Why does your bill have no charges on it? Why does your hotel bill have? I got a suite. They give me a room. I upgraded right by Hugh Hefner's. I got air baskets of shit. Because I'm making people laugh. I'm coming. They're coming down the thing, and they just love me. I'm having gambled like $20. Finally, the guy at the hotel goes, that owns it, Maloof. He goes, did you gamble a little bit? It's really hard to comp you all this stuff when you're spending $50. I go, somebody stole my comp card? I'm spending thousands. He goes, there you go. He goes, I mean, you walk past the tables. You can't gamble like that. And what happened was I got in a fight there. And they had imagine the cameras. That. No, yeah. the guy was going after Dominic. He was there. Oh, he was. He didn't know how to play blackjack. So the guy goes, I got you. I go, I'm going to cash in. Why? Because I'm going to kill that guy. Ah, boom, throws the chair down. So he wants to fight Dominic. Oh, no, you get me. So I'm trying to chase him around. The security, I'm not kidding you, picked me up off the ground like I weighed up 50 pounds and threw me with a suit on right out in the parking lot. I rolled down the thing like, and I'm laying there, and Dominic goes, wasn't that fun? You think that was fun? I want to go home. Just stop right now. They actually offered me, they said they viewed the tape. Mr. Sharp, what can we do to make this better? What did you just say? So they sent me golf. They sent me golf balls with palms on them. I go, no, that ain't going to cut it. Golf balls with the palms. I go, I'm having major nightmares over this.
Oh, I have PTSD now. Can't you see?
He goes, I should have wrote you a check for $1 million. Like 10 years later, he goes, hey, I would have got off cheaper writing you a check for $1 million.
When I was 19.
He sent me a hat and a freaking golf ball. Get out of here.
We're working in New Jersey, working on the bridges. So it was a rain day. On a rain day, my father goes, yeah, let's go to Atlantic City. So we go to Atlantic City, and I'm 19. You have to be 21 to get Atlantic City. So anyway, so I walk in the scene. I'm walking around. Suddenly, this guy about my size comes up to me and goes, "You, how old are you?" I go, 19. He goes, "You got to leave." I go, "I ain't leaving." He said, "I said you got to leave." He goes, "I ain't leaving." I go, "I'm not leaving." He goes, "Listen, I'm going to throw you out of here." I go, "I'm not leaving." 2 minutes later, brings some dude back about 6 feet, 250. He goes, "You're leaving." I go, "I'll see you later."
Yeah, I guess it's time to go. Ooh, wow. Look
at that. I turned out of there so quick. You know what? I think I'm leaving.
When they show me the video of me getting thrown out, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I didn't break my neck. I mean, so that's why I go, I came in like,
yeah.
Did you put what? A collar on? You should ask for a copy of it.
Did you put a collar on?
No, I didn't put, I was going to put the collar on if they cut me.
Yeah.
I go, heads are going to roll. No, I'm not kidding you. I went to the airport. There's a guy with a sign that says Sharp with an E on the end. There's a lime green Hummer limo out there for me. I go,
Shannon,
there's no E on the name of that. Heads are going to roll. I'll take care of that later. All right. No problem.
With it, Shannon,
I'm not going to cost your job.
You got it sold.
No, but Mickey Pecas sent the limo and thought my name had an E on it. I go, we're going to have to discuss something like that. I'm not putting up with that shit right there. And don't put apples in my basket either. I don't like apples. Well, we got to go, guy. If we could have done this, I didn't even get to the stuff. Yeah. We always end up talking about everything but what I put on here.
Someday you got to tell the Aberdeen the story when you were at the restaurant.
Which bad story?
Someone needed your help.
Oh!
It's one of the funniest
stories. We'll cover that next time.
I'm not not even going to tell you because it's not funny.
All right.
I'm right in the middle of one of my stories. What? You have a flat tire? What the hell you think this is? Harlem? Go out and fix it. Call somebody. We look like Mr. Goodranch.
It was a woman, by the way.
Yeah, it was a woman. Yes, you better fix that. Anyways, back to my story. Looks like that's trouble. Anyways, like I was saying on that story before I was rudely interrupted, I actually said that. I actually said that.
Before I was so rudely interrupted?
Yeah, I go, before I was so rudely interrupted.
And this woman happened to be pretty important. And he found out later.
So, yeah, her husband, who's a friend of mine, go play tennis with me, goes, I can't believe you did that to my wife. I go, what did I do? Like, you remember. You know what I mean? Go out and fix the car. I go, what are we? Like in Brooklyn or something, where Alberini's on the strip. What's going to happen? Call under there and fix it.
No, I didn't say
that. Just get a
you got a jack in the car. Comes with it. All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I totally enjoyed that. And we'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.